We're good without God stickers.
Anyway.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's another geeky boner episode. We talk about our boners, and they are so great.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, and I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Tim Wick.
That's one of the co-hosts.
And my husband, Nick Glover.
I'm the other one.
It's true. And guess what, guys? It's a boner episode! Nice. Boners.
I'm sorry, all right. I didn't do it at the same time. I suck.
In case you are brand new to the podcast, this is the time when we get our geeky boner on. We talk about what things are making us rock hard these days. And so I know Tim has a gigantic throbbing boner. He's holding his boner in his hand right now.
He's fondling it.
Kind of disgusting.
It's
really
blue.
I'm really uncomfortable.
You guys are learning way more about my boners than you wanted to.
What's your big blue boner?
I am super excited. I just picked up the Blu-ray DVD of Pacific Rim. I remember we were talking a lot about how excited we were about the summer slate of nerdy movies that came out this year, and I got to say, not that great.
No,
even the ones that I liked.
Yeah.
Were not like, holy fuck, knocked the ball out of the park, loved.
I'm holding out till the end of October for quote,
Thor,
summer.
Thor.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a few more on the horizon that are going to be fucking out. Carrie comes out next week. I mean, like.
Yeah, yeah. Molly is excited about Carrie.
That's.
But Pacific Rim was the gem.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I mean, and I'll defend Superman. I didn't hate it.
I thought it had
its moments.
I didn't hate it.
I thought that Into Darkness was better than a lot of people thought it was.
I loved Into Darkness.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I really liked Iron Man 3.
I thought it was very good.
But pretty much
again, we're all like,
Better than 2, not as good as 1.
None of us are going, oh god, it was so good.
But Pacific Rim.
Oh god, Pacific Rim.
It was exactly what it said it was going to be. It was giant robots and giant monsters beating each other up.
We all saw this for Nick's birthday, right? We went out and saw it at the Icon.
And it was awesome. And I was really pissed it did not do well at the box office.
Yeah.
It's so surprising to me.
Well, you know, the name of the movie, Pacific Rim, it does not scream there will be giant robots and giant monsters fighting.
Right.
And you have to remember that most of the people that go see movies, they don't see trailers, they don't read about them.
That's true.
They just walk into the movie theater
and pick one at random.
I think they do.
A lot of people do that.
I think they do.
I get it.
Or they look at the paper. The paper,
and
Nick.
So they didn't understand that this was giant robots fighting giant monsters.
The kaiju were amazing. Like, the robots, sure, that's great, but just the design of the kaiju.
Robots are what did it for me, man.
Really?
I have a equally rock hard boner for both of them.
Yeah.
It was everything Transformers wasn't.
That's exactly. Because, okay, that first fucking Transformers movie is 85% people talking.
Yeah.
That is. Oh, crime.
And Megan Fox's boobs.
And the Transformers are just not interesting. They're like secondary characters. You know, here you get all up in those robots' face.
Literally, inside them.
You totally get inside them. You get to see those suckers fighting and getting the shit kicked out of them.
You find out why they were made, as opposed to Transformers, where it's like, oh, we're alien robot. Derp, derp, derp. Like, it's,
you should pick up the Pacific Rim comic when they collect it in a trade, Tim, because they talk about the design differences between all the different nationalities, Jaegers, and the fact that the big Russian one with like the nuclear stack on the top, that thing is the heaviest, strongest, most defensive one, and it has the most power because it has its reactors are way bigger.
Uh-huh.
But there's no eject for the pilot.
Right.
once the pilot is strapped in, they're in. So like that Jagger goes out for a fight to the death every time.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones all have escape pods. There's all these cool differences, and they go into the backstories about them more.
I am hoping, because, you know, word is that Guillermo del Toro has a plan for Pacific Rim 2.
Oh.
And I am hoping that the movie did well enough in foreign release, and it did do well in foreign release, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping it did well enough.
DVD sales, too.
Yeah.
Do you have his quote about the sequel?
Will you remind me what it is, because I've heard it.
Because if they let me make a sequel to Pacific Rim... Pacific Rim 2 will make Pacific Rim 1 look like Sense and Sensibility.
You know, because, I mean, the major disappointment I had with this movie, and it's not the storytelling was bad. There was nothing wrong with this movie.
Right.
My major complaint is you didn't get very many of the Jaegers. You only got basically the four.
Yeah.
And really, three of them get taken out awfully quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of them. And I wanted to see more of what you're talking about with the comic is that technology and they jump forward in the story in a way that made perfect sense. It's like, we're going to tell you what happened.
Yeah. And what preempted us making these.
Yeah, because the part of the story where they're, and I think what Del Toro did was brilliant, was the part of the story about them winning is boring. Because, you know, at the beginning, the Jaegers are doing just fine.
Right.
Yeah.
And gradually, it stops working. But taking it to the point where the Jaegers are no longer effective, and they're making what turns out to be a really fucking horrible choice about a different way to go.
The wall.
And the fact that now you have very few Jaegers left, that obviously is a more interesting point
in
the story.
I like the exponential increase that they talk about in terms of the rift, how I get it. Like, there's been one every few months, and we're handling that. You guys don't understand. Like, it's speeding up. And it's not just speeding up. It's like, it's speeding up in a way that it's going to be unattainable soon.
I heard someone compare that whole aspect of it and the building a wall versus using the effective thing we know. Yeah. Compare that whole B plot or aspect of the movie to climate change denial.
Oh,
interesting.
And how it's like, no, you guys aren't fucking listening. Look at this information. Yeah. This shit is happening. It's real.
And when it happens, you're going to come and you're going to be like, oh, we're so sorry.
But it might be too late by then. And. So I don't know. It's just.
So anyway, I am very excited. I have this movie.
You're going to watch it tonight?
I'm going to fucking watch it today. And this is definitely going to be shown at OmegaCon. I'm going to listen to the commentary and see if I can do it as a commentary track.
Have the kids seen it?
No, the kids didn't want to go, so I'm totally showing Alex this.
Okay, and then you can make fun of them, being like, you didn't want to go see this, you didn't want to go,
crazy?
Baby!
Yeah. And I'm going to toss in a little tiny boner just at the end, because I want to make sure I put a link in this, because I linked to this on the Geeks Without God Facebook and Twitter page, that this week, Minnesota on KFAN with a sports radio, they had in a psychic. And the host on that radio just totally ripped the psychic a new one, and I'm going to put a link in the show because that gets my atheist geeky boner up.
We're gonna listen to that on the way home because we actually drove in the same car today for once, so that'll be fun.
It is. Oh, you will love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm going to put up that link, and you got to listen.
That was a sizable boner. I got to say, was a nice looking boner.
Yeah. Surprising for you, Tim.
Speaking of boners, I've seen Nick. how's your what got you hard this month?
So
I love this.
They just kind of finalized in the past week or so the release dates for the next generation gaming systems, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And we're a 2 Xbox home. You know, lots of people have opinions about which one they're buying and all that shit, and I'm really not interested in what you have to say about it.
Because you're an Xbox man.
But not out of, like, any sort of corporate
loyalty. Brand loyalty. We weighed the options.
Literally, the reason we had an Xbox, the reason my Xbox gets more play is because that's where my friends are, and that's what they use.
Sure.
And so, the social aspect, the community aspect, the peer pressure, all things that have nothing to do with specs and price and exclusives.
The government using cameras to spy on you.
Yeah, and all that shit. I mean, the government has better things to do.
I know some paranoid people.
Yeah. So we pre-ordered an Xbox One, Yeah. And we have one game on pre-order and another one that I'm going to go pre-order like this week. And so it comes with a new Kinect, and the new Kinect can... So the old Kinect could see like your arms and your arm joints, so it could tell like where your elbow was, where your hand was, and where your shoulder was. Right. So when your arms bent. Same with your legs and your knees and your feet. The new one can count fingers.
Sweet.
If you wave your fingers like this, it follows the movement. And that's I'm waving my fingers like that. I'm playing piano.
Yeah.
Sparkle fingers.
Yeah.
It can detect sparkle fingers.
The controllers have a little infrared light on them. So if I pick up a controller, the Kinect recognizes me, knows which controller I have, and logs me in as that player.
Sweet.
If I hand the controller to Molly, it knows she's playing and logs her in under that controller. Mm-hmm.
You guys, isn't it great how all of the technology, the really advanced technology that we're coming up with these days is just to play fucking video games?
Yeah,
I absolutely love it.
That or to kill people in other countries.
Well, right.
Those are our priorities as Americans.
Yeah. Video games... shit to blow people.
Yeah.
So the two games we're pre-ordering are... the reason we're a two Xbox home, not a one Xbox home, is because of Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
And Assassin's Creed 4 is a release title for the new systems.
I have to say, I am embarrassed by the fact that I have never actually finished an Assassin's Creed game, because what happens is, Nick and I start playing at the same time, and Nick finishes before me, because he...
As usual.
Well, yeah. But specifically because he has more time that he is willing to put toward it than I am.
Yeah.
And I have more things that I have to do that require other time. So, what ends up happening is he finishes the game and then I lose interest in finishing the game because he doesn't play anymore, so he wants to watch TV now and he's done playing. So what ends up happening is I don't want to go play. I don't know.
You always get about 3/4 of the way
through. Exactly, because that's when you finish.
Yeah.
It's very apropos.
Well, so now we'll only have one copy. We'll only have one Xbox, and so we'll have to... Sure.
Oh, we should do it like sex, and I'll just go finish Assassin's Creed in the shower. I love you. You satisfy me sexually.
Oh, I am so glad my wife's not on this podcast regularly. I love you, honey, but thank
you. But
goodness.
You don't want your sex secrets sold out.
Because she'd make all sorts of comments about his poor Pacific Rim jobs.
She'd be like, well, Pacific Rim job. Is that the salty hole?
We got to end this episode right now. I'm pulling this episode over.
Isn't your wife going to be on soon?
Yeah.
With your kid?
I know.
Exciting. We're going to talk about sex.
The fourth Assassin's Creed is pirates. You're a pirate. You're in the third game, they had ships and you could do all these ship missions and stuff,
really
which
cool.
are really, the ship aspect was super fun.
Some cool ship.
And so this one, you're a motherfucking pirate with a bandolier of guns and you're just killing motherfuckers. And then the other game is Watch Dogs, which is the same company, Ubisoft. And it's like the same style game, like a third person kind of roaming, but it takes place in a replication of the city of Chicago.
Mm.
The streets, the landmarks, the restaurants, apparently everything is very, very startlingly accurate. And I don't know the plot, but the premise of the game is you are some sort of vigilante super hacker who can... As you're walking through the streets, you'll notice, like, residents' Wi-Fi hotspots. You can log into them and look at their webcams and spy on people and hack people's cars and turn on their brakes and all sorts of... And so then I've seen multiplayer footage, which is hacker hunting. You hunt them, they hunt you. And so you have to get to a spot and hack a certain... objective, and they have to like catch you,
really,
and
cool.
so they're like hunting through closed circuit camera TVs and looking for you.
Like
and
they, as in another human being on their Xbox.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But that is cool. So one of the reasons I'm excited for Watch Dogs on Xbox One is it takes advantage of their cloud processing.
Mm.
But so Microsoft has a whole server farm set up to do a lot of the processing Xbox does. So I guess a lot of, I'm not totally familiar on how it works, but I guess a lot of the stuff there's advantageous for have your Xbox connected to the internet while you're playing even single player.
I will say that one of the reasons that I have always preferred Xbox is just the Fable games. And so really looking forward to the new, the next real Fable game. Not this on the rails shit thing that they're doing.
Yeah, that shooter, that is, whatever it
that
was.
That shooter that was so dumb.
Or that Kinect game.
Yeah, no. I want the next actual Fable game because those are amazing.
It's like playing a real Zelda game versus, you know, like, oh, we're going to do this little Zelda shoot-em-up.
Exactly. So that's why, I mean, that's the reason that there's no way I'm never going to get the next Xbox, because I need to be able to play the Fable game, and I need to be able to play it the day it comes out until I finish it.
Well, and
so that's
calling Nick to work.
Those are the games that I finish regardless. I will finish that game. I will tell Nick to go fuck himself because I am running a kingdom. I have, actually.
Well, and when they
that orphanage isn't going to turn into a whorehouse of its own.
Well, you can take your saves from Xbox 360 and bring them over to the Xbox One, and I'm sure it'll use your save data for the next generation of heroes or whatever for
That's
Fables.
Because
they've done that in the past two games.
That's pretty cool.
See, we're a Nintendo house.
Oh, sure.
And
Kids. Nintendo's the best system for kids.
I gotta say, I don't like the Wii U that much because there haven't really been any new
games.
For it.
We got one right away and there's nothing.
There's nothing to do with it, and that really pisses me off.
We haven't played it in months.
I would love if the Wii U had shit for it. That'd be great, but they made like one Mario game.
Yeah.
They haven't come out with a new Zelda game. I guess there's a rumor that there's a new Zelda game coming out, but I mean, even beyond that,
Zelda game is either A for DS and is looks awesome.
Yeah.
Or B, just a high def remake of Wind Waker.
Yeah, it seems like they're really just
the
Nintendo's focusing on the 3DS
kick the ball ahead 3 feet.
Maybe who knows? Maybe like 3 years from now they're gonna leapfrog everybody like they did with the Wii. I don't know.
Yeah, the Wii was huge. I
gotta be honest. I mean, we've talked about this before. The main reason we don't have a PlayStation or an Xbox in my house is because if we got those, I would play games all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I have an addictive personality when it comes to playing video games, and so it's really important to me to not have them around.
Christ, Tim, you have an addictive personality when it comes to podcasts. Creative projects.
Yeah.
You genuinely, like, once you find something you like to do, you want to find all the things that there are like that to do. I can see you just being, like, forever video games children.
Yeah. I have a wife, and, yeah. We have a joke because back when I had one of the original Nintendos, when Pat and I first moved in together, and we would have these arguments because the Nintendo was out on a sun porch on the apartment that we lived in.
Yeah.
And all of our arguments were about how much time I spent on the sun porch. So even now, we'll get into disagreements, and you can tell when the disagreement's about to end because we'll both look at each other and I'll be like, me, sun porch.
That's the kind of shit that you just can't buy. That's years and years of marriage.
Sun porch.
That's
awesome. That's the thing. Sun porch is the description of me and video games.
I'm going to start saying that whenever you and I are in an next time we're in an argument and it starts to like wind down, I'm just going to be like, meh, sun porch, man. Oh, man.
What about you, Molly? You got a boner?
I do have a boner. You mentioned it earlier. The movie Carrie comes out on Friday, and I am like sploosh. I am so excited for that movie. That's not just the blood pouring on Carrie. That's also my panties right now. I'm so excited. So Carrie's one of my favorite Stephen King books, and not just because it's one of the first books he wrote. He wrote 6 pages of it and threw it away. And his wife, when he was, this was like 78, his wife fished it out of the garbage and read it and was like, you need to keep going. Like, you absolutely have to. This could be a whole book. Because he, and I love it.
Let that be a lesson to all your writers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, for real. If you have only ever seen the Brian De Palma movie and you've never actually read the book, I highly recommend reading the book before seeing this next movie because it's supposed to be a very faithful reinterpretation of the book.
Except Carrie's not fat.
Well, except Carrie's not fat, but I've come to terms with the fact that they're probably never going to make Carrie look the way she's supposed to look.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be about 300 pounds and like 5'9" and covered with acne and greasy hair and very shy. And so they can't do that because then she's not sympathetic to the American viewer because apparently we only have sympathy for pretty girls. Or thin girls, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but
they can't do that because they won't cast women who look like that in movies.
Look at Gabrielle Sidibe. Like, even she, like, the character Precious was, like, supposed to be that way. And even then she got, people were like, why aren't you going to slim down for the red carpet and things like that? It's like
because, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, everything else seems really good. And I first got excited for the movie when they were doing teasers and they had a phone number you could call. And I'm a sucker for a gimmick, so I call the phone number, and...
You're a sucker for a dial-in line, and you always have been.
I know. So you call the number, and it's like, and you got one of several messages, and then the one time I called, it was, "Hello? Who are you? You shouldn't call. Mama, it's okay, Mama, it's just, I don't know. You shouldn't call." And like, and then you hear her mom, like, in the background, like, "Carrie, who's on that phone?" And like, it just, it was so, like, immersive. Wow. And I'm just very excited.
So who's playing Carrie? I'm trying to remember.
Girl from Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's a great actress.
Chloe
something. I can't
pronounce
her. She's a great actress. And Julianne...
Moore
is her mom. Mm-hmm. So also
crazy,
very excited.
Fucking
dude,
batshit insane religious mom.
And that's the reason I got excited about that. Julianne Moore in Boogie
Julianne
Nights.
Julianne Moore is an atheist, by the way.
Is she?
Yes, she is.
Julianne Moore, if you're listening, please be on our podcast. So in Boogie Nights, there's a scene where she and Heather Graham do way too much coke.
Yeah.
And she's just freaking out, and she's like, we should go outside and all this stuff. And that to me is gonna be just like
that manic
fervor that comes with true religious belief and everything. And
I love Julianne Moore.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
She's great.
And also in the trailer we saw, Nick said this too, that this was the moment that he was like, "Oh, this could be great," is when they're pelting her with the tampons and doing the whole "plug it up, plug it up." One of the girls, several of the girls, are recording her with their phones.
Uh-huh.
On video, because that's what would happen
in the modern reinterpretation
of this.
And that's just like, high school girls are like the cruelest fucking people ever. That scene is just like proof. And the fact that now...
If
Stephen King had written it now, there'd be cell phones.
I liked De Palma's version just fine. It's iconic. I really significantly hope that... So in the book at the end, Carrie almost doesn't know what she's doing. It's not like with violins and she looks and someone and violins and she looks and someone flies. It's more just that she has no control over it anymore, and her emotions are making it happen, and it's just she can't stop.
She's blacked out.
Once it starts, she can't stop. And so that, and she lays waste to pretty much the whole town. And so I'm interested to see if they take it to that scale.
Because in the Velma movie, it's just like her house and the school.
Yeah,
really.
And the people who were mean. It's all just desserts.
It's a revenge flick.
As opposed to...
Do you dislike the De Palma film? No, I like it just fine.
It's not like with The Shining where I really don't like it at all. I like the De Palma film. I just think that I'm very excited about the idea of a new movie.
She's like a force of nature in the end of the book.
Doing more like the book. And maybe they won't do that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm excited.
So you're going to be first. Are you guys going to a midnight Thursday show?
Well, we can't because we have to get up at 5:30 on Fridays because Nick works at 7.
Boom.
So
Friday night.
Maybe Friday night. Maybe we'll just go on Saturday afternoon. I'm a fan lately. I'm old enough that I can wait until Saturday afternoon to go to a movie where I'm enjoying myself
A couple times recently.
You save a little bit of money going to a
midnight. Save a little energy.
We went and saw Gravity, like, first showing on a Saturday. That was fun.
Did you guys like Gravity? We saw that last weekend.
I did like Gravity. I was a little annoyed, and I'm not going to spoil it in case you haven't seen it, guys, but there's a part where she says that she doesn't know how to pray because nobody taught me how.
Yeah.
Nobody taught me how.
Yeah.
That's about where I was like, ugh.
That lost me for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Probably more annoyed at something that's not even, doesn't even happen, but like is perceived, mm-hmm. and that's people are going to be like, "Oh, that was his angel." It's a fucking hallucination because of oxygen deprivation, and it's her brain trying to save her body because your survival instincts
are
incredibly strong.
Yeah. It's that stuff. And I didn't even like mind when she's eventually saying, like, "When you see a little girl with brown hair and it needs to be combed, and blah, 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 and I miss her," that didn't bother me as much. Because that's the kind of stuff I talk to myself all the time. I could see if I had a kid that died saying that shit.
Parents, you lose a kid, that's going
to
kind of fuck
all
you up.
All bets are off when you lose a kid, as far as I'm concerned. You don't get to tell somebody how their mental state should be.
I did like it. And again, I don't want to go into it because we're talking about it so soon after it was released. The only thing that I'm going to say that pissed me off about the movie, and this doesn't piss me off the movie about the movie, but some people were saying, you know, like, you know, this is a really good movie, but it's not what you think. And I went and saw it, and you know what? It was exactly what I thought.
Yeah. It wasn't what I thought at all.
And that really?
It was billed as a horror movie, and it was billed as being scary. The scariest movie you'll ever see.
It's a survival movie.
Yeah, but it's not
billed
that
way. But that's what I thought it was. I watched the trailers, and I was like, that's exactly what I thought it was.
I watched the trailers, and I thought it was all going to be like the... It was going to be scary, and it was going to be like almost like The Abyss, in a sense. And Jeremy saw it and was like, this was the scariest movie I've ever saw. I'm like, oh, shit, that's awesome. And it wasn't scary.
Scary isn't the right word. It's tension.
It was tense,
If to you the scariest possible thing would be to cut off from everybody else
and floating and just helpless.
I think that sounds like a pretty awesome death.
No, that sounds terrifying.
Really? Yeah. I think if I had to die, that sounds all right.
Depends on the person. But
I was more scared.
I totally hijacked your boner.
It's fine.
No.
When things went underwater, when things go underwater, I get way more scared. And I think that's because the ocean being underwater is way more real.
Drowning freaks me out. By all accounts, drowning hurts.
The idea of just falling asleep in my spacesuit, floating out there, and then just knowing that I'm just out there forever.
See,
is
but
kind
like,
of awesome.
Like drowning,
it's
like
to heaven as you're gonna be.
Drowning,
isn't it?
You can fight, you can try, you can struggle.
Exactly,
you can,
and you'll spend your last moments struggling and crying.
But you know what?
And
you know what? I'm not helpless.
Yes, but in
that's
fact,
the thing. That's
the thing
the
is,
difference.
If someone's holding you, okay, so you're underwater and someone's holding you down. It's even if you're not being held down, you're just in the deep so deep. There's no way. It's almost impossible to make your body take a breath of water so that you die faster and more peaceful. It's almost impossible.
I'm okay with that.
Instead, you just die in burning, searing agony.
Right. But
struggling, trying to get away.
But okay, but like you have a chance. You can fight. You can tread water. You can try to float or swim or whatever. I mean, I was a Boy Scout lifeguard.
Sure,
like,
but we're not talking about, like, you have a chance.
Right.
Like, that's me saying,
we're talking about...
You don't have a chance.
You know what?
Underwater or in space,
right.
You have
talking
no
about
chance.
Guess what? When they take the slaves, they put a great big fucking cannonball on them.
Yeah.
And they toss
you
them
have
into
no
the
chance.
Water. So
but you can fight. You can try.
That's the point.
In space, there's no point in trying.
Right, so you just get to enjoy your last moments in a peaceful, self-reflective, no people around.
If you're cutting out the eye, you're going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You're not. You're gonna start.
You fall asleep. First.
Yeah. Before you just
black
go to sleep,
out.
You start to hyperventilate.
You start to hyperventilate, which isn't scary. You hyperventilate all the time. You hyperventilate when you run. It's just something that your body does.
Clearly,
it sounds panicky.
I don't know.
That's what I love about it.
All
is
right,
this
so
idea.
Those of you listening to this podcast, please tell us which way you don't want to die.
Yeah. Okay. So, and hold on. Let me just set the scene here. I don't mean like you might be able to get back, because that's the same as like, oh, I'm holding on to the ship and I might be able to get back. I mean like you are in space, detached, no one for help, no radio. Or you are underwater.
And hang on.
You're in a scuba suit and it's done. And it's
hang
done.
On. And you can't just pick space because then you get to go to space and that's awesome.
Yeah,
no. None of that shit.
Assuming being in space is normal.
Being in space is boring as hell.
Yeah.
Like, just
you
like being in the ocean.
You can't see anything underwater, you can't see anything in the space.
Right.
It's just pitch blackness.
That's right.
The whole time.
All right.
What do you pick? All right. All right, I think it's time for 5 questions.
It really is.
Yeah.
All right. So
By the way, I need to point out right now the bouncing, you probably heard thumping on this podcast, is because my youngest son is upstairs. He's been watching the Indiana Jones trilogy over and over and over again, and he just goes nuts and bounces around during every single what he calls epic car chase.
Are you sure he's your kid?
I'm not sure. Anyway, 5 questions.
All right, so I have 5 questions from Kevin McCall sent in, and I'm going to enlist you guys to be my readers. So, start up there. I will ask the questions. You guys read the answers.
Oh, damn you.
Kevin McCall, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Matrix, the first one.
Sweet. That's all he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
Well, I mean, obviously not any of the others.
Mic drop. Matrix, the first one.
That's very succinct.
Fascinatingly enough, on my alphabetical movie project, the next movie I'm going to be watching is The Matrix.
Oh, awesome.
And you know the only Matrix movie I own? The first one.
Oh, that's good. That's a smart choice.
That's too bad, Tim. Yeah. We might be able to fix that.
You better hurry up, because I'm watching that bad boy in the next day.
Amazon, next day shipping.
Do you really want to spend money on those movies
reason? To make you watch them, kind of.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Just buy the third one!
Just buy the third one.
Yes.
You just have
just the third one, not the second one.
You got 2 days.
So, gentlemen, if you love The Matrix,
yeah.
if it's the best movie we've seen in the last 30 days, Grant Morrison wrote a comic which a lot of people say the Wachowskis ripped off of The Matrix. They do give him credit in the credits. They say, like, mm-hmm. a thanks to him for his series The Invisibles, put out by Vertigo, DC Comics. They just put out a big hardcover super edition of The Invisibles where it's all collected. It is surreal, amazing, yeah. weird. You'll love it or you'll hate it. But if you like The Matrix, just think The Matrix when you read The Invisibles and you'll see it.
All right.
All right, question number two is, Kevin McCall, who is your favorite atheist character?
I kind of like his answer. He says God. After all, who would he worship? Himself? I don't think so.
That's weird.
It is kind of it. But then
kinda like how Jesus couldn't be a Christian.
then he says, any atheist who just does not bring up religion, just respects others' opinions, but moves with the facts at hand. Maybe Mel from Firefly, but I think he means Mal.
Mal, oh, yeah.
From sure, Firefly. Sure. I'm going to go back to the idea of God. That's kind of fascinating. Would God be an atheist because, you know, he doesn't worship
anything? We'll see.
But the thing is, worshiping, mm-hmm. worshiping a deity is not...
The same as believing.
It's not the same. Right. Yeah.
How about this?
That's not theism. What if, that's religion.
What if the, you know, perceived God is in fact actually something scientifically explainable? Then this, what we would call a god, wouldn't in fact believe in the supernatural or gods because then, they'd be powerful enough to know.
Then you get into like Q and from Star Trek, right. or Doctor Who.
I think right. if you think about it, really though. I mean, if it is a god the way we imagine it, God would be a secular theist. The way we're like secular humanist is a secular theist.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a whole podcast all on its own.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. What's your geekiest hobby?
I'm not sure where to begin. Collecting old D&D books, comics, autographs, working out a defense matrix on a space station in a game and maximize the yield of the moon harvesting.
That's nerdy as fuck.
That is EVE
That's
Online.
Amazing.
Which is,
that is EVE Online.
EVE Online is less of a video game and more of a spreadsheet simulator.
It's like a second job.
He continues, although tempted, I've not exactly done cosplay. There are many I do not let out in public, but most center on collecting and fond memories of favorite books or movies. Boy, man, EVE Online.
Our friend Thad is a big-time goon.
She's
a
goon,
and
yeah.
And that's her baby. She has goons at her house and all kinds
she
of things.
She met her man through EVE.
I'm pretty
I think
sure.
she's in an EVE relationship.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure about that. I'm not 100% on that. Shiny? I don't know.
She traveled to Scandinavia to meet with some EVE Online players. Yep. And yeah,
that's awesome.
I will say, you know, just he mentions old D&D, but I do have... an original copy of Deities and Demigods with the Cthulhu mythos in it.
Oh, cool.
So I'm just saying, boom.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can't have it, Kevin.
All right, so question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich. Dakota 12-grain bread, two slices of beef bologna, two slices of cotto salami, and lots of Velveeta cheese.
Ooh.
Oh, my God, Velveeta cheese. That's the first time we've had Velveeta.
I love Velveeta.
That's, yeah, Molly's.
Bread covered in Miracle Whip.
Oh, God, this
meat face the bread with a Miracle Whip again. You know, you got to admire.
Yeah,
understand that we're a Miracle Whip podcast.
Yeah, we are.
You know, Velveeta is nasty fucking cheese, and I love it to death.
I love it so much. It's so good.
It's so bad for you.
Velveeta cheese represents everything that's wrong with America, and I love it.
I sincerely think that one of the reasons I love it so much is because I was denied it as a child my entire life. When I got into college, my roommate said, you know, do you want a sandwich? I'm like, sure. And she makes me a sandwich. I'm like, this is amazing. This tastes like heaven. What is this? And she's like, oh, it's just, turkey and Velveeta and white bread. I was like, oh my God, I'm eating Velveeta. I like called my mom. I was like, I'm having Velveeta and it's good. I don't know what your problem is.
That was the first time I ate Lucky Charms because we couldn't have sugary cereal as a kid. I had a bowl of Lucky Charms and like for St. Pat's, Lucky Charms and Jameson. And I called my mom. I'm like, I'm drinking whiskey and eating Lucky Charms. It's rotting my teeth and I love it.
See, I'm thinking Velveeta to me is kind of like spray cheese without the can.
For sure.
You know, which makes it slightly classier.
It cuts classier. So nice, and it melts so well.
It's both at the same time less and more sleazy.
Velveeta shells and cheese is the superior macaroni cheese.
Have you had like a grilled ham and cheese with Velveeta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what they shared in my high school.
Your dad, my... Yeah. What's his signature...
Oh, his chili cheese dip that he makes every holiday? My dad puts a block, like a brick of Velveeta and a can of Hormel chili no beans into a crock pot, and it just sits. And it sits for like 4 hours, and then we eat it with Fritos, and it's like, and I can feel
it's
years.
Heart poison.
It's like in Princess Bride when years are being taken off your life by the machine. That's how it's like I eat like a handful. It's like I just took 4 years off your life. Would you like to go for more? I'm like, I would.
Yes,
like,
I would.
I would eat. My brother sometimes will eat it just with a spoon. Like we'll scrape the crock pot clean with it. Oh my God, it's
because
good.
The crunchy bits on the edges are the best parts. He thinks.
Jesus Christ.
He a monster.
mad props to Kevin for the Velveeta.
Yeah.
I gotta give it.
All right, so last question is, what's the stupidest or most ignorant or offensive thing someone's ever said to you about your atheism?
Well, when I played D&D, I was often told as a kid that the books were going to kill me, which I asked, you mean the monster manual is going to jump off the table and give me a heck of a paper cut?
Snarky.
Forcing them to explain Satanism and other magical or miracle stuff allowed me to turn to them and say how they are insane believing in such things, that everything in the game is imagination and not reality, and I'm well-founded in my mind in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Then by the time I was done, would start mumbling hateful words under their breath as I made them feel ridiculous. I would smirk knowing they will not go so far as to tempt the men from the rubber room to show up.
Men from the rubber room. Man, that's an awesome phrase I haven't thought of in a while. Yeah. That's good.
But, speaking as somebody who's been in a rubber room. Well, not a rubber room.
I was never put in the choir room.
So Kevin,
I was a good inpatient.
Kevin, you might be interested to know, so we picked up, I picked up a copy of...
It's ours.
Dragon Raid. Which is, it's made to look like the original D&D Redbox, but it is a Christian role-playing game, pen and paper, for building our virtuous spiritual warriors in the real life. And because D&D is, you know, scary and going to pervert the minds of our children, we better come up with our own D&D to counteract that. And much as we suffered for you all playing Left Behind, the board game, at OmegaCon this year, I'm going to be GMing Dragon Raid and subjecting Tim and Molly and maybe a few others to be Lightbringers and pick up their swords and arms and face the Satanist evil in the world.
I really hope that the big bad is like Ray Comfort.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
We're gonna
be PZ Myers. Can the big bad be PZ Myers? Come on.
We're going to just go through the scripted adventure that they have included with the game, the first one.
Oh, okay.
But in order to do that, we need to find a cassette tape player.
Oh, shit.
Because that's how old this game is published in 1984.
Yeah.
But it was the first role-playing game I ever played, and so we're going to play that at OmegaCon. So look forward to that one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you, Kevin.
At least
it's
going to be more exciting than Left Behind.
I guarantee it'll be more exciting than Left Behind.
Yeah, because Nick is in control, being the... what is it, the Lightbringer M?
I don't know what their term is. They have all their own super... Yeah, the He with a Thousand Names, or whatever it is they call God.
Yeah.
It's really intense. Sweet. It's great.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is all for tonight, I guess. Thank you guys for listening. This has been our hard rock throbbing boners episode. And
you just love talking about boners.
I love that. Guys, I don't know if you know this about me, but I really like boners. Anyone who's known me since I've been about 14 knows that. All right.
I can't contradict that.
You can't contradict that. No one can. There's people who've never even heard my voice that know it. Like,
I have empirical proof that you love boners.
All right. Thank you so much. We've been Geeks Without God, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
See you later.
Hey, you. Answer our 5 questions, goddammit.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Again.
The girl from Paris?